Welcome to the Science Podcast. It's February 20th, 2012, and this is a special podcast from the AAAS meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm Carrie Klein, one of your usual Science Podcast hosts.
And I'm Mike Price, a writer for Science Careers.
As the 2012 AAAS meeting comes to a close, we'd like to cast our eyes to the future by looking ahead to the next generation of scientists.
Every year, the American Junior Academy of Sciences brings high schoolers from across the country and Canada to the AAAS meeting, where they get to show off their science fair and independent study projects.
But before we explore their exciting research, let's hear from Lee Brogy about the kinds of opportunities these students get to experience while here. Brogy is entering her fourth year as the executive director for the American Junior Academy of Sciences, or AJAS.
What's exciting about our program is that we're not a competition. So students come to be immersed into the scientific community. We like them to experience the culture and the social aspect and the intellectual aspect of being a scientist. And so the students will share their research in the poster session and in a more formal oral presentation. And since we're not a competition, from day one, then they can start to develop networks, intellectual and social networks, with their peers, as well as being able to develop networks with the scientific community.
And how do they generally end up here at this one conference in North America each year?
Well, each affiliated Academy of Science has their own manner of selecting their top high school researchers, and those names are passed on to the AJAS, and then we formally invite them to this conference.
So tell me about some of the fun events that you've set up for these students here while they're here in Vancouver.
Our very first event, of course, is just a welcome. And that's a reception where students and the chaperones can get to know each other. And our first formal function are tours. And so this year in Vancouver, we had tours at UBC, at Simon Fraser University, and then at the aquarium. And the purpose of that is to, again, give students firsthand, side-by-side contact with scientists in order to promote them entering into STEM careers, or at least to take more science and STEM classes when they're in college.
Do you ever get any feedback from the students years down the line about how this, if and how this event and this honor has influenced their careers?
What's interesting is this year we have a teacher from Texas. Her name is Miss Shoup, and she was an AJAS fellow. And now she is a teacher bringing students to the conference. So that's really a nice success story. And we do keep in contact with students. We have a Facebook page, American Junior Academy of Science, and then through email and our internet website, we're being able to more and more stay in contact with our fellows as they go on to other stages of their life.
I was just going to ask if you could explain a little bit about the importance of STEM education and why it might be important for these students to get educated in STEM fields.
Right. Now, whether or not you become a career choice in STEM, it's the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics courses that really enable you to be a critical thinker, a problem solver, and to be able to be a more dynamic member of our society. And so no matter what country that you live in, the more educated you are, the better able you are to make decisions and to help your community make decisions.
Great. Okay. Well, Lee Brogy, thank you so much.
Welcome. Thank you.
That was Lee Brogy, the executive director of the American Junior Academy of Sciences.
And now, without further ado, let's hear from these dynamic, critical thinkers. Carrie and I had the privilege of speaking to a few of them and were impressed with the variety and complexity of projects they presented.
Yeah, my name is Gurbani Kaur. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
And what year in high school are you?
I'm a junior.
Okay. Now, could you tell us a little bit about your project? What did you do?
A lot of people deal with vascular diseases every year, and the primary cause of this is arterial thromboocclusions, what we call a blood clot in layman's term. So what we did was we created nanoparticles, which were basically liposomes, kind of like a phospholipid bilayer, and that's like a little sphere that are about 150 nanometers in diameter, and then we attach a peptide to target the thromboocclusions.
So what are some of the applications that you might be able to find for this kind of work?
Yeah, so we'd be able to catch the thromboocclusions at a lower, earlier stage, so we'd be able to reduce the need for individuals to actually need a bypass grafting or to use angioplasty and stenting, as well as be able to assist in being more efficient with the drug capacity and enhance the efficiency of them.
Now, is this a line of research that you might want to keep studying as you go into college?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking into pursuing Case Western Reserve University and pursuing the continuation of this research. I definitely want to be a clinician. I was maybe looking into cardiovascular disease, something like that.
Hello, I'm Heather Malin. I am from Ashboro High School, and I'm a freshman.
And where is Ashboro High School?
In North Carolina.
Can you tell me a little bit about the project that you worked on?
First, let me explain my title, Hydrogen Peroxide, a Key to the Next Frontier. I study this because hydrogen peroxide degrades into heat, oxygen, and water. So I wanted to see what would be the best catalyst for the formation of breathable oxygen from hydrogen peroxide. So I tested silver, copper, red brass, nickel, and yellow brass. And I found that silver was by far the best catalyst.
So what might be some of the applications that scientists could do with it?
Say we make a colony on the moon, just for an example. You have your oxygen, your water, and your heat. So it fills out a lot of requirements.
Is science something you've always been interested in?
I've just gotten into it because of my grandfather.
Okay. Is that something that you're thinking about continuing the legacy?
Possibly. I'm thinking more of radiology. I've got a lot of time to think about it.
Yes, you do.
That's great.
I'm Jacob Buckman from High Technology High School in New Jersey.
And what year are you in high school?
I'm a junior right now. I did this research as a sophomore.
So, kind of briefly, I was wondering if you could kind of run me through your project that you did.
Well, basically what I did is tried to make passwords more secure by using the rhythm that people type them as a sort of digital fingerprint to tell different people apart. So that way, if somebody else were to find out my password and tried to log in as me, my system would be able to realize that they had the wrong rhythm and were an imposter, and it would lock them out. I didn't think it would be this high, but in the course of my research, I found that one way could get 95% accuracy, and another way of analyzing it could actually get 98% accuracy in choosing the correct person based on the rhythm. One of the big problems in the modern world with the prevalence of social networking and all this data just being stored on clouds is hacking into people's online accounts. So password security is a huge thing. So one of the common ways that people could hack into accounts is through brute force hacking, which is where you just try every possible password until you find the one that works. Whereas using my system, that would be completely infeasible because not only would you have to guess the right password out of the millions of possibilities, but you'd also have to guess the right rhythm, which is basically impossible to do.
So do you plan to keep studying this, maybe when you're going into college?
Yeah, I actually really like the field of biometrics. I think it's really cool that computers can take something that seems so mundane and actually turn it into data like that.
My name is Mackenzie Enich, and I'm from Missoula, Montana in the United States, and I am actually currently a freshman in college.
Oh, okay.
This project that I have here, it was done my senior year of high school.
So could you tell us a little bit about the project that you did?
Well,
I'm intrigued by the title, I'll tell you that much.
My project was looking at the effects of caffeine on precision target shooters.
Using rifles?
Precision rifles?
Yes, 22 small bore rifles. So do you know the biathlon in the Olympics?
Yes.
Same shooting, just we don't ski.
Okay, great.
So exactly same shooting, same positions.
What did you find in terms of the caffeine's effect?
Generally, at the doses that I was giving to people, there is no effect. Although it does depend on the individual, I did have one participant that had a pretty major negative effect. I believe that in the short amount of time that these trials were done, just the 40 minutes, and the little amount of caffeine, it does improve, just because its natural ability to relax and makes it easier to breathe, easier to control your heart rate then, which at this level we are definitely trained to do.
Now, what are you studying right now in college?
My major is actually Media Arts Film Studies.
Okay. So are you planning on doing any more science research at all?
I would love to. I tried to last semester. Didn't really work out. I have some plans to, but ultimately I want to make documentaries, and so I would make documentaries on things I love, which one is science, so.
I'm Ben Bartlett. I'm from Lexington High School, and I'm a junior.
And which Lexington is this?
Oh, Lexington, South Carolina. I'm sorry.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, basically my project was looking at the neutron distributions coming off of a deuterium IEC-induced fusion reaction. And what I was doing is I was firing an external ionizer towards this stationary plasma target of these recirculating deuterium atoms, or ions rather, and it was by firing this ion beam at the plasma target, I was inducing a velocity differential in the overall system, which causes a focusing effect of the neutrons, which is what I found. Theoretically, if this could be scaled up high enough to induce a high enough velocity differential, it would cause a tremendous focusing effect and could essentially create a neutron beam. It has a tremendous array of applications, obviously in physics and chemistry, but beyond that, in day-to-day life, the biggest applications would be in aerospace, defense, and in medicine. So by painting a target with a moderating material, it could even be some sort of paste that contains deuterium oxide, you could be able to superheat the target from a distance using this focus beam of neutrons, which would allow for elimination of the target with minimal collateral damage since it doesn't interact with most other matter.
So it could literally go through a wall and heat something up that has that paste on it.
Yes.
So considering your dedication to this almost seems a silly question, but are you planning to go into science as a career?
Yeah, I'd like to go into plasma physics. Although the idea of fusion-powered energy is always seems like it's 20 years away, I think that we will eventually master that technology, although it may not be within our lifetime, but I would like to work within the problem because it's such a perfect blend of extraordinarily complex mathematics with physics.
It's been enlightening to see the sheer intelligence of our next generation of scientists. I can't wait to find out where these high schoolers end up in a few years. Maybe we'll see them again in a Science Careers article.
Or maybe they'll even be publishing in Science. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for listening to the Science Podcast. I'm Carrie Klein, and with me was Mike Price of Science Careers. That wraps up our coverage of the 2012 AAAS meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia. You can find all the podcasts, news articles, and Science Live transcripts from the meeting at news.sciencemag.org. We'll be back on February 24th with our usual weekly podcast.